Hallelujah. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. John chapter 15, verse 1 through to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes, so that it will become more, so that it will bear more fruit, even richer and finer fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have given you, the teachings which I discussed with you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit, producing evidence of your faith, unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, that is cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. Something? Nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers and dies, and they gather such branches and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, that is, if we are vitally united and my message lives in your heart, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified and honored by this when you bear much fruit and prove yourselves to be my true disciples. Jesus is heading towards the cross. John 15, Calvary is coming into view. It's on the horizon. These are weighty days. These are days when he's leaving his kind of final kind of words with his disciples. He's preparing to give his life as an offering. And these are weighty days. What do I want to leave with my disciples? What does the Father want me to impart of them? What will be some of my lasting words to them? You know, was it going to be miracles? Was it going to be signs and wonders? Was it going to be the second coming? Well, it could have been any of those things, of course. But he literally says, guys, let's talk about your relationship with me. Let's talk about our relationship. I want to spend some time today just simply talking about your relationship with Jesus. Just you and him. Him and you. You know, we don't live in an agricultural society like they did. My daughter's about to come, you know, getting ready for the last year of school and thinking careers and all that and all the kind of, you know, careers, events and everything that come up by that. I've not, you know, heard of many positions for vine dressers, you know, at those kind of things, because we're not in a world, in a culture, sorry, here where there's kind of a lot of, you know, surrounded by vines and grapes and wine in our everyday life like they were then. So some of the imagery to us is perhaps a little more foreign, a little perhaps needs a little more thought, because to them, when Jesus was saying this, it was current, it was now, it was really relevant to the world in which they live. So when Jesus starts talking about vines and branches and vine dresses, they're like instantly dialed into the significance of what Jesus is talking to them about. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And he talks about the Father as a vine dresser. It's an incredibly powerful image because I love the definition of a vine dresser. It's simply this. It's a person who tends or cultivates vines. And Jesus was saying to them that the Father works in our life with one great aim, and that is ultimately, as we will see, to tend and to cultivate a close relationship with each one of us. The Father's greatest desire, the Son's greatest desire, is to tend and cultivate this close and connected relationship with each one of us. And we're talking about you. Thank God for the person who's on the left this morning. Thank God for the person who's on the right. But this morning we're talking, Jesus is talking to you. I want to talk to you about our relationship. My relationship, he's saying, with you. You know, I believe that sometimes, and this might sound very obvious, but people say prayers, sinners' prayers, I believe, but they don't always go on to develop a relationship. You know, and that yet, what we read in John 15, that's the very thing that God wants to grow. He wants to grow relationships. He wants to grow fruitful relationships with each one of us. So God longs, Jesus longs for so much more than just a kind of a sinner's prayer without anything more than that. And even just going to church every week, What his heart's desire is for a fruitful relationship. You know, sometimes you can get someone to pray a sinner's prayer, and you can even get people who have gone to church for donkey's years, and actually all they've ever really stepped into is dead religion. And what Jesus is talking here is about fruitful relationship. And we're going to talk this morning about what a living and fruitful relationship with Jesus looks like. Knowing that you can have dead religion, which is fruitless, and you can have living relationship, which is fruitful, because the life flows there. Jesus says in verse 2a there, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, he trims, he cuts away or cuts off. Now, I recently read this quote, Jonathan, perhaps you can flash that on for us there. The phrase abiding in Christ pictures an intimate relationship and not just a superficial acquaintance. An intimate relationship and not just a superficial acquaintance. So there's these branches that seemingly have no life that Jesus says, well, they get cut away, but he talks about branches that produce fruit. There are those who get this fruitful relationship evident. There's those who perhaps have just had this experience of what's really dead religion. And Jesus said, actually, I want so much more. I want a fruitful, living, life-flowing relationship with you. I want more than you just to be tied into me in a superficial acquaintance kind of level. I want this close relationship. Fruit is ultimately the evidence of a real relationship with Jesus. And so if there's no visible fruit, then there's no change. How many people know that when somebody falls in love with Jesus, you can tell? You just see it. You just know, because there's a fruit of change. There's an evident change in that person's life that they've really got this. They've really fallen in love with Jesus. It was a joy, genuinely a joy for me and Claire to sit with Michelle a couple of weeks ago when she came and said, I want to get baptized. And I said, Michelle, what I love the most, I love that you're such a different Michelle who's sitting before me now to the Michelle who first crossed the threshold. She said, do you really think so? I said, I really think so. She goes, that's funny. So my friends and my family who I've not seen for a while, and some of them I've been there saying, Michelle, you're so different. Praise God, amen. The fruit of change, the evident fruit of a transformed or changed life. Michelle, I'm sorry for embarrassing you. I hope you don't mind. It's a bit late now if you do, I guess, but anyway. When you got it, you just look different. You just look different to the old you, and you look different to others around you. You know, when you fall in love, it changes you. When you fall in love, it changes you. You know, I was a typical lad of kind of 17 with all those kind of, you know, things that I would think about when you're 17. And then I fell in love with Claire, and I found myself doing things like writing notes on the inside of Starburst, you know, the opal fruits. Little love notes and popping them through an envelope and through a letterbox and all that sort of stuff. I think, man, falling in love really changes you, you know? And you just, because stuff happens when like that when you fall in love. And when you fall in, when a person falls in love with Jesus, they look different, they sound different. You see the fruit of change in their life. They're different to the old them, and they're different to people who don't know Jesus around them. And so Jesus showed us that he's not just looking for decisions, he's not just looking for attendance, he desires relationship. And so I just want to look at three signs of a fruitful relationship, okay, with Jesus today. And the three key words that I want to leave you with: growth, commitment, and dependency. Growth, commitment, and dependency. Your turn. Verse 2. Every branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes so that it will bear more fruit, even richer and finer fruit. God wants your relationship with him to grow. He wants you to grow in that relationship. He wants your relationship with him to grow. This whole idea of pruning, at times when you think about it, makes you kind of, because when you think of pruning, you think of something that sounds quite kind of unpleasant. At times when you prune, not being a big gardener, but I understand the principles of pruning. That was a mouthful. I kind of, you know, you sometimes, we've got these buddleias in our garden. You're like, you hack them right back. You know, you think, oh my life, what have I done? You know, it feels kind of like, is this quite severe? I'll talk more about my buddleias in a moment. Never thought I'd hear the day when I said that. Praise God. It was just one of them moments right there. Just like, wow, am I really saying this stuff? But yes, I am. So, but ultimately, the whole point of it is to encourage growth, right? That's one of the points. We'll talk about the others in a moment. But for this, for us to grow, for this new and richer and finer fruit that God is speaking about, that Jesus is speaking about, he has to get rid of some stuff in our life. And so it says there, he repeatedly prunes the fruitful. Those who are in living relationship with him, those where life is flowing, he repeatedly prunes because he wants us continually to grow in our relationship with him. The definition of to prune is to remove, rid, clear of anything superfluous, that means unnecessary, unwanted, or undesirable. So Jesus comes to our life and he says, hey, in this inside of a relationship, I want to just remove and get rid of a few things in your life. I want to get rid of some unnecessary, unwanted, or even undesirable things. I have undesirable things. And I want to get rid of them, not because I want to cut you back so that it feels like a severe and painful process, but because I want to understand there's an even richer and finer fruit I want to bring through in you. I want growth to come through. And so inside of that, God prunes my life. I know in my life there has been and there still are some wrong attitudes, some bad attitudes, moments of pride, ways of thinking that God has to deal with. And actually, I would like to say to you, I find giving up those things really easy, but I don't. And I think that's part of why Jesus has to come along and say, I've actually got to cut that off. I've actually got to break that off from your life and actually take that away. You know, I love the fact that before I came to Jesus, every other word was a swear word. But when I gave my life, to Jesus, I thought, well, that can't be right because no one else does that, you know? And when I gave my life to Jesus, that was something that I got so ingrained in, he just cut it off and I stopped swearing instantly. Stop swearing instantly. God just dealt with that in my life. He cut it off. I wouldn't have given it up, but he pruned that from my life. And so ultimately what I want us to understand, when God is cutting you back, and even that phrase, I want you to understand this. When God is cutting me back, he is dealing with what is holding me back. All right, just take that away with you. And sometimes we go through stuff. You think, oh God, this is painful. I feel a bit stripped back and a bit kind of bare, and it's not that pleasant. But Joyce Meyer says, whenever God prunes, he's never trying to hurt us or take away from us. He's getting rid of the things that's robbing me of joy and peace and freedom. And it all happens inside of relationship. He's preparing me for increasing fruitfulness, for richer and finer fruit. So pruning is not punishment. He prunes the fruitful. He cuts off dead religion, but he prunes inside of a relationship. It's a love thing. It's the action of someone who wants the best for us. It's a growth thing. It's a making way for new and increasing life thing. I don't always enjoy it. I don't always feel that pleasant. But I want us to know this is the heart of what it's all about. And if we don't spend time with God every day and we try and avoid those seasons in our life, oh God, this hurts. I think I want to dodge this. Then we're actually never really going to grow. We're going to stay the same. And so back to my buddleias. The other thing about them is that I find that the majority seem to go in the right direction, but you get the odd part that shoots off in the wrong direction. And I believe that part of pruning is that actually inside the relationship that we have with Jesus, he reshapes our lives. And he gets things moving in the right direction, gets things flowing in the right direction. He shapes our life, and in his presence, he rearranges things. In his presence, he sets a new course for our life. So whenever I prune, this is what's happening. He's getting me ready. He's reshaping me. He's redirecting me. And that's why my relationship with Jesus is so important, because it all happens inside of that. God wants us to be productive, and to ultimately be productive, we need to invest our time in our relationship with him. So what was the first word? Growth. The second word? Commitment. If we want a fruitful relationship with Jesus, he literally says here, you've got to stay with me. Time and time again, he's talking about us remaining in him. Not breaking away from him. You can read it again in your own time, but realizing we have to remain, the old word there, to abide. I love that word, to abide. And to remain or abide in its fullest expression means this. It means you've got to stay in relation. Stay connected. Continue, live, dwell, remain, draw upon, rely upon, depend upon. Now listen to this. Not to depart, continue to be present. As a branch and he is a vine, that's what you've got to do. You've got to stay relationally with Jesus, connected to him. Stay in it, continue in it, live in it, dwell in it, draw upon him, rely upon him. Don't depart from your relationship with him. Continue to be present. Jesus is talking in the active present tense. He's not talking about yesterday. He's not talking here about tomorrow. He's talking about now. He's talking about today. He's talking about what we need for the life to flow, for the fruitful relationship we need. He's saying, you need to know, as I leave you, you need to know this. I desire above all other things a day by day relationship with you. An everyday remaining, abiding relationship. Where if we make that a priority in our life, he says there will be fruit to show for it. So if I was to ask you, I'll ping off a load of things that you hear, and then I'll get you to the end and I'll say, put up your hands if any, some, or all of these apply to you. How many of you want to be more loving, experience more joy and peace, be more patient and kind, do more good, be more faithful and gentle, have more self-control? How many hands would go up on that list? Yeah. Like everyone got. Friends, it's the product of an abiding relationship with Jesus. Every day, not departing, continuing to be present, living, dwelling, remaining. Listen, I have days I stuff it up. I have days I'm it, and the grace of God is good. But you know the old, that phrase just comes back to me just now, it's not my nose. 7 prayerless days makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. So there's this fruit to show for it. It's not about trying harder. You know, sometimes I look at my life, I think about areas in my life and ways I've got and weaknesses, and I think to myself, I need to work on that. You know, I need to work on that. I need to try and improve in that. But I need to do more than just work on it. Because actually at times that can lead to a lot of frustration, because sometimes I improve and then I blow it again. But God's heart is transformation. I don't want me blowing up in frustration. And so what I really need to do to see change is bring my life to him every day. Bring myself to him, because as the vine, he supplies to me what I lack as the branch. I'm ultimately only ever what I receive from him. He produces that change in me. He brings about the fruit. I always come. It's never a waste of time investing in time in his presence, because you will always come out of his presence and God will have been working change. God will have been working to bring about fruit. It's a fruitful place to value time with him. Galatians 5:22-23, you may have guessed that list I read to you. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If I'm struggling with a bad habit or a wrong attitude, if I need more love or more if I'm lacking in energy or I'm missing peace or I'm struggling with my levels of patience, go to Jesus. Focus on your relationship with him. Apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. Cut off from that vital union, the Amplified says. It's a vital union. So I try my own strength and it is fruitless, but time in his presence is fruitful. Abiding changes you. It produces fruit in you. It produces fruit in your marriage if you're married. It produces fruit in your family. It produces fruit in your relationships. It will produce fruit in your workplace. But I find it fascinating that Jesus felt so many times he had to emphasize, remain, remain, remain. I believe he knew that there will be times in our life, and I think we've all gone through them, when we're tempted to depart, when we're tempted to wander, when we're even tempted to quit. And, you know, we kind of wander from our relationship with him. We depart from it. We stop spending the time with him or making that a value or priority. Or we even think about, I can't do this. This is too hard. And he's saying, you've got to remain. Remain. Abide. Continue to show up. Be present. Friends, relationships, so many relationships struggle, generally, general relationships now. So many general relationships struggle because two people, for some reason, have no longer been able to stay close. Some issue has forced some kind of gap. So with my parents, it was money. Man, the rows I used to hear that raged over money. You know, my dad would be in the bath, I would be downstairs with my brother, and there'd be, you know, just arguments that were going on that were ultimately an issue that crept in that forced two people who used to be close together apart. Now, whatever that issue is, what I'm saying is relationally, that's what the whole intention of those things is, to try and push us apart. And you know, there's so much stuff in this world, and the enemy wants to bring so much stuff, there's so many distractions, and ultimately what it's trying to do is forge a gap between you and Jesus and actually push you apart. Because if it can begin to push you apart, the relationship begins to struggle, push you apart from that time with him, push that gap in between you and him. But it's important for us to understand that whenever the gap appears, Jesus is not forcing gaps. Jesus is not the one forcing gaps, but we have to admit we pull away at times from him. I have to admit in my life that whenever I've gone through some of my struggles with my faith, ultimately at some point what I've learned to recognize is actually I've allowed distance between me and Jesus. There's this gap appeared. I'm not abiding like I used to abide. But relationships stay strong when we stay close together. And so we have to value and prize and fight for those valuable connections in our life. And we have to value and prize and fight this connection with Jesus in our life, because the day doesn't always want to afford you it. The circumstances don't want to always afford you it. Life doesn't always encourage you to do it, but we have to value and prize and fight for that connection with him. We have to orient our lives and our time and our decisions and our priorities around that time with him. And Jesus is saying it's an everyday thing. Listen, every day I need fresh strength from God. And do you know what the Bible says? His mercies are new when? Once a week? Every morning. Go get some. Get in his presence and draw upon that fresh supply of mercy that's there for you that day. That fresh supply of grace, that fresh touch from God. Allow his word to get into you. You know, if I had a big plant here and I cut a flower off it, you'd think, well, it looks okay if I separate it from the vine. You know, and we come back tomorrow, you might say it looks a little bit black around the edges. You know, the longer you leave it, the browner and crispier it goes. I once heard someone say, I think there's a few too many brown and crispy Christians. You know, we've kind of let it go too long where we've been cut off from that union, that time with the vine. But Jesus is saying here, things die when we lose that connection, when we disconnect ourselves. So fruit is produced with him, never in isolation. Never absent, never separate, never apart from Christ. It's the product of connection and closeness and time with Jesus every day. John 15:4 in the Passion says this, so you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to me. And Jesus promises, if you remain in me, in verse 7, and my words remain in you, that is, if we're vitally united and my message lives in your heart, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. How many people have heard part B of that verse quoted in many a prayer meeting? Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And we think, oh my life, what's going on? Because I've asked for stuff and it's not happening. Friends, the big word, if. If you remain in me, something happens in the realm of seeing our prayers answered when we're living in an everyday relationship with Jesus. People are saying, God, he's not answering my prayers. And Jesus is saying, you haven't even been showing up and spending time with me. Now you're frustrated with me. Now God in his mercy, because God is sovereign, of course there are times when he does, but we live in a dangerous place to think we don't need time in his presence, and then we just drop our 99 prayers from time to time, and I need the answer and I need the breakthrough. See, something happens when we're in his presence. We allow his word to get into us. It's you and Jesus time, not just you and church time. It's you and Jesus. Because actually, as I I've realized something. Even my prayers can start to get a little religious. I can't remember if I gave this testimony here just recently, but and then I'll move on to my final point in just a second. But a couple of weeks ago, Jake had a football tournament. And it was the first tournament he would be playing for his new team. And he'd been excited about playing in this tournament. He's an eight-year-old boy, and they put this running track down at school. And he was sprinting against kids like every lunchtime. And they're moving through the pecking order up to the stage where he wanted to take on the year six boys in sprinting as well. And he's like in year three. And he's sprinting against a couple of fast, year six boys. Ben Tennant and one of his mates, they're all having this sprinting race. And he pulls a muscle in his leg like 2 days before his football tournament. And he's like, "Dad, I've really hurt my leg." And when you're just like, "You'll be all right, son." And then you sort of catch him and they're wincing and all that kind of stuff. And so he spent 2 days like iced up and that, sitting there with ice on his leg. And he was really sad because he's like, "I wanted to play and I'm not going to be able to play." And I'm like, "Well, I'm going to pray for him." And as I go to pray for him, honestly, it was as clear as this. As I go to pray for my son, knowing what God is speaking to me about right now, which I'm letting you in on here today as we look at this whole thing, as I'm just about to say, just about to pray for him, I just feel like God just says to me, "Don't forget I love you." I'm like, "Huh? Don't forget I love you." Just before you're about to pray, "Don't forget I love you." And I'm like, I'm about to launch into my I know what to pray types of prayers in these circumstances. I have my certain prayers, ways of praying, phrases, things like that that I might use, we'll do all that. And just what God's like, "Don't forget I love you." I'm like, "Ooh." It totally changes the way I pray. And he begins to speak to me. He says, "What you want for your son right now, I want for you even more because I'm your father. And I want for him even more than you want it because I love you." So I just prayed this whole, "Look, Jesus, I'm just asking you to do this because you love me. I just pray, would you just do this? I just realize, and I just want him to know that you're real, and I want you to show him." And I prayed for him on the Friday. He got up Saturday morning, played every game at the football tournament, no pain and no problem ever since. Praise God. It was like Jesus was just saying to me, relational prayer, not religious prayer. I'm your dad. See, the reason it releases answer to our prayers, I'm not saying we always get everything we want, but what you understand here is that as you dig into this, what commentators are actually saying, something happens when we spend time in his prayer, in his presence, because actually it gets our heart right towards God. And we actually get, and this is what they all say, we get more in tune with asking the things he wants. And actually, as I'm close to Jesus, I become wise enough to begin to learn to ask not for the wrong things and what are the right things. And God begins to guide my prayers in a wonderful way that actually says that I'm so now becoming in tune with him that actually he's saying, "Well, now you're so in tune, your heart's so connected, you're praying in line with my will and you're understanding what I want, I'll answer." It's a beautiful thing. And so it all hinges around this if. So people go, "Well, fruitfulness is the product of ability. They're very fruitful. They've got more ability than I have." Friends, it's the product of desire. It's the fruit of time with Jesus. And so as I just close this second point to an end, and my third one's not too long, I just want to say our greatest need, I believe, is ultimately to learn to do life with God every day. Not just do church. You can do church and everything like that, and I praise God. Listen, I don't want you to stop coming at all. And I love you, and I love us being together. But you can do certain things, and I've done them in my life, and actually there's a disconnect. I'm doing it, but as a disconnect. I'm not doing them out of this day-by-day relationship with Jesus. But something special happens when we come together and we do what we do out of connection and closeness and love. Why do you want to give your money, people say? I tithe because I love Jesus. I give my time because I love Jesus. I serve because I love Jesus. The minute we lose that, friends, dead religion. All because we love him. I love this quote I left. When you do something outside of relationship, you're just doing something. When you do something out of relationship, you're producing something. Yeah, go to church. But friends, take this out of the doors, into your Monday morning, into your workplace, and into your world. People say, "Christianity, that's boring." Well, do you know what? If you try and do it without Jesus, I agree. Because the fruit is found through a relationship with him. It gets exciting and fruitful and productive when we learn to live every day with Jesus. So we've got growth, we've got commitment. Lastly, dependency. That branch is totally dependent upon that vine. That branch can do nothing without that vine. It's totally dependent. It can't grow by, I'm going to struggle to grow. It can't kind of, you know, do that kind of just like, yes, kind of thing in my life. I'm going to try everything I can just to kind of grow and be more fruitful. No, it grows through its dependency. It grows through its relationship as a branch to the vine. The minute the branch says, I don't need the vine, the life stops flowing, the fruit stops coming, the branch begins to die. In our lives, friends, ultimately, what we need to understand is I need time with Jesus every day because I'm dependent upon him. I need that time with him, to spend that time with him. And I'm not putting X, Y, or Z amounts of minutes on it for you here, but I'm just saying every day learning to walk and talk with him. Yeah, we need our quality time, where we block out a period of time to be with him, but he's still there when you get in the car. He's still there when you're driving to work. He's still there when you're out with the family. And we're learning to talk with him. It's a fruitful place to be. The source of life, the root of the fruit, is found in dependency. Fruitful branches are the ones who recognize the need to stay connected. I am only what I receive. I can only manifest what I receive. I can't give what I haven't got. As you roll out into Monday morning, you're thinking, I want to give something to this world. I want to give something to these people I'm working with. I want to give something to my children. I want to give something to, you know, the different relationships in my life. Friends, you need that time in his presence because that is where you become fruitful. I'm more loving, you know, joy-filled, peaceful, patient, kind person. But you know, as I close, I just want to say this, and I say it it's just a little check, really, for us all. We all have to make sure we're depending on the right vine. We all have to make sure we're depending on the right vine. We can have different vines in our life. You know, things that we attach ourselves to and actually we rely very heavily upon them things. We draw upon them things. We find our value, our significance, our purpose, our meaning through them. They're like they're the everything in our life to keep us going. Do you know your job can be a vine? Money can be a vine. Relationships can be a vine. Friendships can be a vine. Children can be a vine. Money, I've said that. Approval can be a vine. Pleasure can be a vine. Even things like sympathy can be a vine. Actually, what happens is we can become overly dependent upon them things. Overly dependent upon them to help us get through life and give us our significance and our meaning and our purpose. And it's like, I need that to keep me going. Friends, dare I stand before you today and say, your greatest need is Jesus Christ. He is the vine. So is Jesus your vine? Em, perhaps you could just come back. Band, we come back with. Em's probably right now thinking, oh, my life, I'm trying to think of a song that's singing about vines and branches and struggling. But anything that's about Jesus is good. So, because he's the ultimate one we want to sing to and worship. So whatever you've got, Em. But is Jesus your vine? You might ask, well, how do I know if Jesus is my vine? Okay? And I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to you. I have to ask myself, am I living my life like I can do without him? I mean, Jesus himself said in his humanity as a man in John 5, I think it is, that he could do nothing without the Father. As a humanity, as a man, he modeled, I'm only what I hear, I'm only what I receive. You love the signs, you love the wonders, you love the miracle guys, but this is what you've got to understand. That is all the product, the fruit of connection and closeness and walking day by day with my Father. So am I living my life like I can do without him? I'm asking myself. How much do I value and prioritize my relationship with him. Ultimately, only you can answer that. Only you know what life looks like, what your week looks like. I just remind you of that thing that I'm sure you've heard before. Love is spelt T-I-M-E. So your relationship with Jesus, I believe, what he wanted to leave with them was, guys, this, me and you, it's everything. It's everything. It's the place where you thrive. It's where you receive, and therefore because you receive, you can give. It's the place where you grow. It's the place where your life is reshaped and redirected. It's the place where I take away the things in your life that are holding you back. It's the place where new direction comes in your life. It's the place where my word gets into you and changes you. It's the place where you find your prayers are answered. It's the place where you experience the joy and the excitement that is inside of a relationship. Your relationship with Jesus is where the life flows, and it's where the fruit grows. That stuff doesn't just happen because I go to church or I listen to a podcast or whatever. Friends, it happens when Jesus becomes our very life. And when my relationship with him is everything. Thanks, Em. I'd just like us just to sit in God's presence for a moment, and just let us begin to worship. You know, unloaded a lot, but I just want us just to, you know, finished early. Well, I mean, that's a miracle in itself, but maybe God's helped me just to afford to just have this 5 minutes just for a moment, just for us to sit in the presence of God and just say, Lord, would you just, I mean, would you just, even quietly, I'm not asking you have to say it, would you just say, Lord, would you just talk to me about some stuff and just listen? And I believe Jesus will just, he'll just speak to you about some things in your life. Lord, we just say, would you speak to us, Jesus?